Tennessee.
Hey, this is Adam Church. Y'all are streaming the Gaining Fast on Memphis Podcast with Jillian and Aaron Shriver, baby. Let's go. I've
got left. Welcome to the Gaining Fast on Memphis Podcast with Aaron Shriver, brought to you by Arlo Revolution. Each week, Aaron connects melodies and memories with fans and artists from all genres of life. When all else in life is gone, only music will be left to leave the legacy of life's adventures. Please welcome your host for the Gaining Fast on Memphis Podcast, Aaron Shriver.
Hello and welcome everyone to Season 6 of the Gaining Fast on Memphis Podcast, a place where we connect melodies and memories. I'm your host, Aaron Shriver.
And I'm your co-host, Jillian Shriver.
Our mission tonight is to provide a platform for motivated singer-songwriters, passionate fans, or someone who's making a difference in and around the world or the music community. Tonight we're going to go a little off the beaten path, so you're going to see what happens here in a few minutes. We hope everyone listening leaves inspired with a positive outlook on life and begins connecting their own memories to melodies. Tonight we are presented by our good friends at Arlo Revolution, cinematic wedding films, music videos, and promos. Find them at arlorevolution.com. One tree planted for every 1,000 downloads of the show. We plant a tree with one tree planted. Download the show on your favorite podcast app today. And then Poddex. Poddex are the hottest tool to get your next great interview, unique interview questions in the palm of your hand. Our on-screen sponsors, Art on a Higher Wire by Joelle, original and custom artwork inspired by your life moments, treasured photos, and memories. And Shed Services. At Shed Services, we offer a full range of maintenance services depending on your needs. Find them at shedservices.com. Looking for ways to support or sponsor Gaining Fast in Memphis, then please head over to our Patreon page. Tiers start at just $1. When you sign up for a full year, you get 2 months for free. Hey, Patreon, something you can't do at this time, the next best way to support the show is a like, share, review, and subscribe anywhere you can find us. Remember, you can join us live every Monday night, 7 o'clock on Facebook and YouTube, where you can interact with the show, ask questions, and join in on the live chat with your favorite guests. Visit our website, gainingfastonmemphis.com, for concert reviews, photos, playlist links, and more. We thank all of our sponsors for continued support and growth of the show. All right. So yeah, we kind of talked a little bit about a one-off. Tonight we're gonna get all off the beaten path of the music trail we're normally on, because whenever I find somebody that we're kind of inspired by, we like to kind of throw them on every now and then. So we'll do a little one-off here and there. And tonight's one of those nights, and I like that this falls right around Mother's Day too. So
yeah,
tonight on episode 128, we welcome on motivational speaker and life coach Jordan Toma. Jordan is changing the lives of young kids all over, and is what he has overcame himself, and who believed in him that has guided him to being the person he is today. Inspirational to many, we are honored to discuss the memories and melodies that make up his journey. We're going to welcome Jordan on.
What's up, guys?
Can you hear us all right still?
I hear you great.
All right.
Score.
Dude, welcome to the show. I'm finally glad to have you. We have been following you for some time on social media now. I know when I presented this to my wife, Jillian, here, I said, hey, this is going to be – I invited him on. He's going to jump on. And she's like, dude, I love this guy. I follow him all the time.
He was like, oh, my God, you got to check this guy out. I'm like, oh, my God, I follow him already. I love him.
Because you're just like what your tagline is now. Yeah. You are the guy or the person that we needed. Like, I actually literally sat down with my 8-year-old and added – he has his own TikTok account, so I added your account to his. I said, this is the guy I wish I had when I was your age. Mm-hmm. I said, if I had him, I think things would have been a little different. Maybe things would have clicked a little bit more with me. So before we get off the beaten path and kind of get to your game, is we're a music podcast. We focus in on singer-songwriters originally. So I like to always start this podcast off kind of like with music background. Do you have any kind of music taste? Or like, what's your like first taste of music? And share a story with your first concert with us too.
Yeah. So like my music, like, so I at heart, I love punk rock. I'm a punk rock guy. I love it. Right? My wife makes fun of me all the time because she doesn't understand why. Like I'm a big Avril Lavigne fan. I don't know if you guys like Avril Lavigne. I am a country fan. I know you guys are in Nashville. I am a country fan. Mm-hmm. I do like Sam Hunt.
Oh yeah.
I like him a lot. Yeah, I like him. I like that. That's like my country, as country as I go. I'm really more like a punk rock kind of. I'm more like a punk rock kind of guy. Like I like punk rock, like Avril Lavigne. I like.
I'm going to tell you. Well, we're located in Chicago. Not outside Chicago. We say we're based in Nashville because a lot of our stuff comes in out of Nashville. But we're big fans of Fall Out Boy, man.
So,
yeah, Fall Out Boy's from Chicago, so we're big Fall Out Boy guys. So
Newfound Glory.
Yeah.
I love Mayday Parade. Yeah. I don't know if you guys know Mayday Parade. I'm a big fan of them. You know, I like that. I like some kind of stuff like Evans Blue and and Breaking Benjamin. I like that kind of stuff. Like that's my kind of style, you know?
Well, I love it because when it comes down to it, it's always about a song. This is a songwriter, and they all have, where some of these songs that you probably listen to, if you slowed it down through an acoustic guitar behind it, probably can be considered country music because of the way the songs are written and the way the emotions are behind song. And it's the same way kind of leads into like who you are and kind of like how you deliver your social medias now and how you kind of really get to younger people because you use your platform kind of like artists use their music. And you deliver a message to people, man. And that's what I love. So just a kid with an IEP. First off, let's start off. What's an IEP? Let everybody know kind of like your story and a little, maybe I'll brief it up in about 5 minutes or so. If you could brief up your story, kind of your background. What got you into this?
Yes. So I'm just a kid with an IEP. What an IEP is, like, I didn't even know what an IEP was till I was like maybe out of college to when I actually created it. So what an IEP really is it's an individualized educational plan. So when you're in school, right, in high school or in your middle school, and you're struggling and you need support in school, your parents, right, will usually go to the school and say, hey, listen, my son, my daughter needs support. And then the state has to follow the rules and they give you what's called like an IEP, right? An IEP is an individualized educational plan, which means maybe you get extra time on your test. Maybe you get a test reader. Maybe you need a note taker, right? You need some extra support to help you succeed in school. So that's what that is. And but when you go through school, you don't know what that is. All you know is that you have one. You got to go to these IEP meetings. And that's all I knew. And all I knew is that every time the bell rang, I would have to go to a different classroom, right? Separated from everybody else. And I always felt different in the classroom. I always struggled in the classroom. And then as you get older, you start to realize, wait a minute, you know, I don't sound like everyone else when I read. You know, I'm not picking up on everything like everyone else. Everyone knows it's, maybe I get a word bank and no one else does, right? Mm-hmm. And then kids say things that could be mean sometimes, you know. And I remember they would say like, oh, Jordan's in my class. This is the dumb class, you know. And they would say things and then you just kind of hear it and go on with your day, but you don't forget. And, you know, I remembered that and I held on to that. And I always, always, always struggled in school. And I always struggled with my self-esteem, my confidence because of the way I felt in school. And it was like repetitive every time I went. And I had a lot of anxiety. And when I was younger, I didn't know what I was so worried about and why I was feeling this way. So I ran away a lot, you know, and I ran away. I used to run from school. I used to run from the school bus. I used to run from all these feelings. And I could never really just get over the hump of just like saying like, hey, you know, like I got to go do this. I got to prove it to myself. And luckily, you know, my mom, that's why all my videos, if you watch my videos, they're all about my mom. Well, they're all about speaking from the moms, kind of the moms have like this power, this special power, because I, you know, my mom was always in the fight for me. And she, for 18 years of my life, she never let me believe the way that I was talking about myself and how negative I was, even though I was getting into a lot of trouble, even though I was failing all my classes and I wasn't like excelling in school at all. She never let it like actually be like a real reality. Like she always told me like, you got gifts, you're good at this, you're good at that. We're going to get through this. You are smart. You just learned differently. And she never let the situation go any further than that, you know? And that's why I make those videos like that. Cause my mom is the only reason why I went to college, right? Cause I got denied from every single college and every teacher told my mom I can't go. And my mom went to that college and she begged them to accept me because she knew I had to go to this 4-year school that had this support. It was a college and I had like extra support. And she knew that if I just believed in myself and proved it to myself with those programs in place, I would see it. But I couldn't see it yet because I've never done it. But she knew that it was worth the chance, right? And she was going to fight until I got in. And then they told her, they said, on paper, you know, we can't take this kid, you know, because on paper, guys, I was not good. I was really bad. I mean, I got suspended the last day of my senior year. They weren't going to let me walk. And I got into trouble because I that's the only place I kind of felt normal, you know, because I didn't have to go to school and I didn't want to go. And but my mom didn't stop. And luckily the school said, fine, we'll take them, because my mom was so relentless. And they did. And I went to this program, and this program like changed my life. And it was for the first time in my life. I was 18 years old. And I remember I did an assignment on my own. I handed it in and I got my own grade back for the first time ever. And I was like, wait a minute, I can do this. Like my whole life, I never thought I can do this, right? But I never utilized the help that was there for me. I never embraced, like I never said, hey, wait a minute, I do need a tutor. I do need to study all night in the library to get this. Like, I do need to put in that amount of work. You know, I never did that, but I learned to do that with this program, and I learned to accept it. And then that's how my struggle became my strength. And then I'm just a kid with an IEP was born. And to tell you the truth, how it was born was my senior year of college. These other schools from high schools came to the college to talk to the kids that were in this program that I was in. And they were like, you know, how's it feel being in this program? And I was like, I don't really know. And they said, well, how does it feel? And I just looked around. I didn't know what to say. And I was like, I don't know. I'm just a kid with an IEP. And everyone started laughing. And then when I graduated college, that's how I named my business. I'm just a kid with an IEP. Yeah. That's the only way I can say it. That's it in a nutshell.
It delivers the message too to kids, man, because like I said, you're the kind of guy I wish I had when I was younger. Because, my mom would come all the time. It's funny. She's watching our kids upstairs right now, but she would come all the time to school. I almost would not want her to pick me up because, like, dude, she would come in and talk to the teacher. And, like, she was my IEP in a way. Like, my mom was the one that was always there. Right. And I'm like, Mom, come on, dude. You got to – no. Drop me off down the block. Don't. You're not going to do this today. Because she would go up to the teachers, man. Right. She'd be like, does Aaron have any homework? And she's doing the same now with our kids. And honestly, I see it, and you got to be thankful for that now these days, because there's so many kids that don't have a mom sometimes. Yeah. Or don't have that mom that will put in the extra time for their kids. And you got to be thankful and grateful when you do have that mom, because it's crazy. I'm going to show you guys a quick video of how we kind of stumbled across Jordan. This is what he's been posting on social media over the last few years.
Oh, you got the overprotective mom.
Nope. Not gonna play that.
All the kids are like, your mom is so overprotective, right? And everyone's like, hey, just stop being so overprotective. But you got the mom at 1 a.m. when you call her, she picks up on the first ring. All the other moms aren't picking up, they're sleeping, right? You got that mom. You got the fighter mom. You got the warrior mom. You got the mom that there's battles coming your way. She's in the front, right? She's not letting you get there yet. She's there before you get there. You got that mom. That's the smothering mom. That's the loving mom. That's the overprotective mom. You want to know something? The most overprotective moms are the toughest moms. They don't tell you that, right? They don't tell you that when you're 14, when you're 15, right? You're just dealing with this overprotective.
So this is crazy stuff. If you guys haven't seen it, we'll play a couple more of our videos throughout the show, but catch up on them. I know they're a little choppy right now because I think our internet's going out or something.
Live. It's fine.
Is it coming through on live, echoey too?
No, it's good on live.
Oh, was it good on live? Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. So yeah, but those are, if you guys have been on TikTok or any other social media platforms, you came across Jordan. For you, man, how big was social media to get this message out for yourself? Go back to your first time you ever posted on TikTok or any post on social media about this issue. Giving kids a voice.
Yeah. You know, so I made a Instagram a few years ago, 2015, and I posted about it and I posted and I really didn't gain much traction, but I posted and I made a Facebook page in 2019. I posted, but then during the pandemic, you know, I was home. I just had a baby and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to download this new app, TikTok. And I remember I went outside and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I hit the record button and I just started talking about how I remember getting pulled out of class by the school psychologist and I would have to do all these IQ tests and with the red and white blocks and all these things. And I wouldn't know how to read a certain level. And I just gave like a story on it. Right. And I remember I went to bed. It was like my first TikTok ever, a second one. Woke up and I'm like, and I had 300,000 views. And I was like, wait a minute. Is there really that many kids on this app that actually did the same thing I did and parents, right? But it was mostly kids first. And then I continued to do it and I said, wow, this is really reaching kids. And I was getting all these DMs, hundreds of DMs on my Instagram, like, thank you so much, all this stuff. And I was like, wow. Yeah. And it wasn't the first time I shared my message, but it was the first time I really opened up on social media. Because it's hard to do that, right? Because you almost don't want to be judged, right, on social media by, you know, everyone, your family members, everyone. So you kind of hold back from doing it other than just being an app you look at. Now you're putting yourself out there. So I had to just forget about that. You know, I just did it. And that first real video that kind of did that was like, you know, this is real. It's out there, you know, and TikTok's the avenue I'm going to go here. And it just, kind of happened. And it, now it's huge. You know, my Facebook and TikTok.
Yep. I love that. In the same way we talked, like we talked to musicians, same thing. A couple songs just hit the right people. And that's all it takes, man. It's real life stuff. And it's letting real life people succeed now because you're delivering a message. And like I said, you're giving a voice to people that really don't have a voice. Going back to the videos and mom and everything else, why does mom always know best? And why do you think kids, kind of like I know I did in a way, but why do you think we would rebel against moms that are being overprotective in a way?
I think the way I think about it is I think the mom is always really in the fight, right? Even in my life and a lot of the parents I talk to, like they're always in the fight. And I think that, you know, for the kids, the reason why we rebel against the one we love the most every time, right? The one we love the most, the one that has our back the most, the one that is not afraid to tell us the truth, right? Is not going to let us like kind of slip in, like, they don't let us, I think moms don't let you slip one inch without just telling you, hey, you know, you're going off track here, right? So they're always kind of in your face. So it's kind of like when you're young, you know, it's, you think of it's like of being annoying, right? But I know now, cause I'm 32 and like you guys, it was what I needed. It was what you needed, right? So that's why I refer back to the moms, because I know the moms are doing the same thing my mom was doing. Mm-hmm. And I know how I felt, and I thought my mom was like my biggest enemy, but really she was my biggest fan, you know? And if I just looked at my mom that way, maybe when I was 7, 8, 9, 10, instead of like hating what my mom was doing, mm-hmm. and rebelling, you know, I would have changed my life so much sooner. And that's the kind of the message I want to get through to these kids. Hey, listen, if you listen to your mom, right? I'm not saying you have to listen to everything she's saying, right? But I'm saying listen to her when she's talking about who you are, right? And she's telling you what to do with your life and how to make these good choices and all these things. You'll start to see yourself a lot clearer and you'll prove it to yourself a lot sooner, right? Yep. And your mom is really on your team. And if you utilize your mom as being your teammate, you know, you really are unstoppable. And it took me 18 years to do that. And I know from 18 till now, 32, what I've done. But I know what I could have done. I wish I knew this when I was 8 or 9, mm-hmm. like I'm trying to push these kids on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, man, too. Especially, I was trying to flip through some of these videos I pulled to see. Another thing I want to talk to you about, I was diagnosed really young with ADD and ADHD now. I went years with kind of treating it, and last couple of years, I kind of went back into it. I see a lot of my kid, and you did a video, and that's what I was trying to find real quick, about talking about jumping on a trampoline or rollerblading around. And why would stuff like this be okay? Maybe with parents that have kids that they don't really know if they have ADD or what it is. Why would allowing them taking a 5-minute rollerblade break or jumping on a trampoline while you're doing flashcards, why would something like that kind of help when they're doing homework or help settle with them?
Because it's so hard to sit still, right? It's just so hard to sit still. Even me right now, I just sway. It's so hard for me to sit still, But the thing is, like, what, like my mom used to let me do this. I used to put on rollerblades, right? And I would rollerblade around the counter and in the kitchen. And my mom would ask my flashcards. And that was the reason why that's good, is because they really are in like their element. They're focusing. You think they're not because they're moving, but they're focusing. And that would be the only way I could listen. I'd jump on a trampoline. I'd rollerblade around the kitchen. But it's a way for them to get their energy out. But also they could still focus on what they're doing because the energy is there. But if they try to sit still and you ask their note cards, they're worried about sitting still. Mm-hmm. But if they're moving and you're asking their note cards, they can hear the note cards a lot clearer. So for me, that really helped. I don't know if it helps every kid with ADHD or ADD, but I believe that it would help any kid if they said, hey, listen, rollerblade around the kitchen, I'm gonna ask your note cards. I bet you every kid with ADHD would say, yeah, okay, let me go on my rollerblade.
Yeah.
And they'll do it, you know, and then we'll get the note cards down.
So that's how our son is. So our son has ADHD, and he likes to draw. So a lot of times when we're doing like spelling words and stuff, like I'll just let him draw, let him doodle, let him do what he needs to do, and talk to him, because he gets like it helps him focus so much better, and he does more when he's drawing than he does, you know, just sitting there staring at me trying to do homework, you know.
Right. So he's like drawing, and then you're asking him for a spelling word, and he's like spelling it while he's drawing.
Yeah.
We've had all the talks this year. Exactly. I want to chalk it all up to COVID and in virtual learning and everything else. But he's behind in school, so we had him starting him on some ADD meds too, because mm-hmm. we had to sit down with the teachers and stuff. And it was hard as a parent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what kind of advice would you give parents? I mean, you're really good with giving advice to kids. What kind of advice would you give to parents maybe just first learning that their kid might have kind of a disability, not a disability, but a challenge?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that the first step, you know, you look at them, right, and understand that it's a challenge, right? But that you got to look at it in a positive way. Like, you want them to have this challenge because going through these challenges now will get them ready for life, because life's going to be all about challenges. Just like getting out to this live, right? There's always going to be problems. You got to kind of navigate through it. So it's just a warm up, right? So I would look at it as like a warm up. All right, we got problems now. Maybe he's 10, maybe he's 12. Okay, so what? Because we're going to have problems when you're 18 and 22, but we got problems now. And we're going to overcome them now, and we're going to learn how to overcome them. And then when it comes to like how we're going to overcome them, you know best for your kid, right? So like there's many ways to overcome them, right? It could be medication. It could be a therapist. It could be just working with tutors. You got to try those things out. But I would look at it as a parent. My advice to the parents is this is the best case scenario, right? You don't want the kid, right? And this sounds crazy, but I don't want the kid that just does their homework. Everything's perfect in their life. No matter what, they have no problems, right?
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a point in life that they do have problems. And when they get hit with those problems and they're not used to handle those problems,
yeah,
that's going to be a very hard mountain to climb. So now you got problems. Okay. Our whole life is going to be problems, and we're going to keep overcoming these problems, and you're just going to be ready for anything. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, what's next? I don't care. It's going down, you know?
Yeah.
And that's my advice to the parents when it comes to that. And then when it comes to medication, you know, it's a case by case basis. You know, it does a lot of help for people. So the medication is appropriate in so many situations. And then there's other ways too that can help as well. But eventually the parent, you know, makes the best decision for their kids. And when it comes to medication, you can always go on it and you can always go off it. So it's not like a life thing. So you can always try and not try it, you know, and try with something different.
I agree. I we've seen it help him a little bit. So see it.
Yeah, everything. It's helped him focus. I personally, like, I show Jackson your videos quite often because I see a lack of confidence in him, and he's only 8. So a lot of things and the challenges that he's having right now, like, I'm trying to get him to understand, like, it's okay. And, like, you know, I don't have it. Aaron does have it. So you understand kind of where he's coming from. I don't. Yeah. So I'm trying to put myself in his shoes. But I try to listen to, you know, outlets such as yours and things to try to understand what a kid's going through, because I didn't have those challenges. You know, I was very lucky and I did well in school and I didn't have those challenges. But I'm trying to understand what he's going through so that I can be the best parent that I can to help support him. And I want to make sure that he has the confidence that you have, you know, growing up at this age, to your point, so he can be successful in whatever he chooses to do, which, you know, whatever makes him happy. But that as a parent is hard. You know, it's very hard, especially if you don't understand what they're going through, you know.
It is hard. And the confidence is like the number one thing. Like, the confidence is what I focus on. Confidence over everything. Right. And it's not about the grades, right? It's how hard they work to get those grades, right? Mm-hmm. So if your son studied all night long for that spelling test, right? And he went and took the test, and maybe he was nervous, and he forgot a few words, and he didn't do that well, but he studied so hard, right? He should still have that high con. He should know, hey, listen, I put the work in, right? Mm-hmm. But that next test, I'm going to get it, right? And if I put the work in and I don't get it, right? I feel good that I put the work in, and I'm going to do it again, right? Because I'm getting ready for the next one. And it's the confidence of knowing that you're doing that type of work. That's the difference maker. And if he gets a C, or even if he gets a D, right, but he smiles because he studied, he did 100 note cards over and over and over again with you, and he knew them all with you in the house, but he messed up on the test, he's got to still have that confidence knowing that he is so much stronger than everybody else, right? Mm-hmm. The kid that got the straight A and studied for 20 minutes, like all my college roommates, right, and they would make fun of me, right? Long story short, my roommate used to make fun of me every day, right, because I would get a syllabus in college, and I would do my entire syllabus, almost all of it, in like a week for the whole semester because I was so worried about it. Mm-hmm. And I would go to all my tutors. I'd do write all my papers. I'd study. I'd rewrite all my notes. I'd go to the library all night long because I didn't want to fall behind like I've always have. And my buddy would always make fun of me. And he would say, Jordan, I studied for 20 minutes before our test, and you studied for 2 weeks before the test, and you only get 1 point better than me. Long story short, when we graduated college, few years went by, I ended up hiring him, and he was working for me. And I said, hey, dude, remember? Because I used to study for 2 weeks, you studied for 20 minutes. That's why I hired you.
Yeah.
And you know, me laugh about it. And he's still my buddy, but that's the difference, you know? Yeah. That's the main difference there. And that's what I believe these parents should be teaching their kids. Hey, listen, this is the foundation right here. Like, this is the hard work. This is what you want. Like, this, you should have the most confidence. You know, this is your advantage.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that. And researching for this, I read that you rewrote some chapters of some textbooks too before college classes.
Oh yeah. I would go to the library and, like, you know, so my reading comprehension is really bad. So when I read something, my eyes jump, I'm dyslexic and I can't, like, if I read something, I just don't get it. Right. And I just don't get it, but I have to, what I learned in college, I have to read it and rewrite it. So I would buy a notebook that I have my chapters and I would rewrite all the chapters over and over again. Dude. And sometimes I would play music if I thought I could listen and write. And I would just write and write and write. And I would always write till 11 o'clock at night in the library until the librarian was like, hey, you got to go. And I would leave. And then I would shut my book and I would go to bed. And all my buddies would be in the dorm. But I would know that, like, I put it into the end, you know. And then I did it, you know. And it's going to sink in.
Yeah, I love that. We're going to put in our quick little clip of a video. Just give us a couple of seconds. We'll be right back on that.
There goes Mom, you're always in my business. You're always asking me what I'm doing. You're always asking me how I'm feeling. You're always just trying to get inside my head. Just leave me alone.
Huh. It's playing on live. We'll stream it in.
But you have to. You have to let your mom in. You got to put that wall down. Because right now, you're holding the one person who loves you the most out. You're keeping the one person, which is your mom, out of your life. But you got to open up. You got to let her in. And as soon as you let her in, as soon as you open up, I want you to tell her what you're scared of. Tell her what you're worried about. Show her your struggles. And I promise you, she'll show you how strong you really are. And then you'll start to listen.
Truly inspirational stuff, man, that you're putting out there. I cut it off a little short. I want you guys to go to his socials and see the other videos that are out there that he's putting out there. You're putting in some great time on these videos. You're putting out some great content. And like I've said multiple times already, you're giving people voices that normally, like, our son would not have a voice or would not know that you're being the kid that we need or the person that we need.
And he's not alone.
Exactly.
You know?
For you, your catchphrase, we've talked about a couple times. I needed who I am now to walk into my school when I was younger. Now I'll be that person for someone else. How has that motto changed who you are as a person today? Like, shaped you into kind of advancing to being a life coach and everything. I'm sure you never dreamed of being, I know you have your 9-to-5 and stuff. I'm sure you never dreamed of it, but how has that kind of molded you into being the person you've become?
You know, I never, like, thought I would ever, like, become this person. I think, like that motto kind of forced me to become this person. Like, I remember when I wrote that down, and I wrote it down because I remember being my younger self. Like, just you guys said, and, like, just having, like, no one to go to. Like, I went to a therapist. I went to but I had no one to, like, say, like, hey, like, you know, like, I've been there, you know, and I made it, and you're going to make it too. I didn't have that. And I remember just thinking about that, and I was just, like, thought about that line, and then it made me become it. It almost made me become this whole different person that I never was before. And now I feel like, you know, I just want to help, like, everybody. You know, I want to see everybody make it. Like, nobody. I know everyone can make it. I just, like, I don't want any of these kids to feel bad about how they're struggling in school, how maybe they're afraid to raise their hand and read out loud. Like, I just know what's on the other side if they just look at it differently the way I'm telling them, and it really kind of shifted, like, where I put my energy, you know, because, you know, we only have 24 hours in a day, and I really focus my energy on, like, how can I reach these kids and how can I make sure, like, every video grabs, like, 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe 1,000 kids, and they just get it, man. They start making those different changes in their life, and it's really just, like, their mindset, right? That their mindset. And I've gotten tons of messages from moms, thousands mm-hmm. of all these positive changes. So it really is working. And it feels good when you get those messages because like it's working. Like you don't know if it's going to work, but you put it out there anyway because you hope it does. And it really does. So it's really kind of changed me and it pushes me to keep going.
I love it. And you got a book coming out too, man. Tell us a little bit about this book, kind of what you put into it. It comes out with, I think it was June I read somewhere. Or when will we get our hands on
it? You could pre-order it now. It's on Amazon. I mean, anyone could pre-order it. The Kindle's available now, but it's nice. But if you pre-order it, it doesn't get shipped out till June 21st. And I wrote that book. It took me 2 years to write. I woke up every morning for 2 years, like around 4 a.m. Because I wake up in the morning. I wake up at 4 and I go to the gym. But I made sure I got up at 4 and I wrote for like a half hour. Mm-hmm. And I would write like a chapter. I'd write a sentence. I'd write a chapter. It's really hard for me just to continue to write. But I wrote it, but I wrote it. So I looked up before I wrote my book. I was like, how am I going to write this book? Like, it's so hard for me to get like my words from my head to the paper, you know?
Boy, is it.
And people are like, oh, go hire a ghostwriter, you know, go hire someone to write it for you. But I didn't want anyone to write my book. It's my life. It's my story. I can't tell it to somebody and then they write. I got to do it. Right. So I couldn't justify that. Plus it was like 20 grand to do it. I'm like, I'm not doing that. I'm going to write it myself. So
I would have wrote it.
I'm not spending 20 grand to tell someone to write my book. Yeah. I'm going to do this. So I just started writing it. And, I just did it, man. And it took me 2 years to do it. But what I did is I broke down every situation that I went through in my life, as much as I can remember, right? From as little as I can remember. And then at the end of each thing I went through, I went over what was important about it, why this was important in my life and why this benefited me and why it's going to benefit you too. And I kind of spoke to myself, my younger self, and I spoke to the person reading. So it's really cool the way I wrote it. And I actually gave it to an author. I said, hey, read my manuscript, you know, let me know what you think. And he's like, bro, this book is awesome. You got to publish this book. And I had it in my documents for like months after I wrote it. And I'm like, all right, I got to do it. So I finally did it. And initially when I put it out there, it hit the top 100 biographies on Amazon initially, because I have all those followers. Everyone bought it, but it kind of slowed down a little bit, but hopefully we can keep growing and going out there, but the book's coming out. I believe that book will help a lot of people. Yeah. That's why I wrote it. I want these parents to read it. I want the kids to read it. And I really want to give them hope, because I believe with hope they can prove it to themselves, and then that's where the confidence is built. So, but they got to have some hope. You know, they can't be hopeless. They got to have something to hang on to, and that book is something they can hang on to, and they can always go back to it and read it.
I love that, man.
Well, it's an easy read, guys. It's an easy read.
We pre-ordered one. Typos so far.
In there and everything.
I love that. Great. Yeah, we've already pre-ordered, but we're going to get a couple more, and we're going to make sure we deliver to our kids' school, too. I think schools should have these on hand just in case, man. So a kid might just see it tucked behind a shelf somewhere and be like, oh, what's this?
Yeah,
right.
Start looking at it and be like, oh, this is who I am. This is me. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I think definitely if you're out there and you guys could swing an extra book for it, donate to your local school, because I think these are the kind of books that should find their way to kids' hands for sure. Because sometimes kids are quiet. They don't want to speak up of what they're going through, but they read about it and they read these words. They're like, oh, wow, it could connect. Same thing where why social media, and this is why I want to leave with this question before we kind of go to our sponsored part of the night. Social media, I feel, is both very, I don't know, it's very good for people and very bad for people. I feel like especially kids with maybe learning disabilities and stuff with ADD, it could be very addictive at times. For good and bad reasons. I remember back in the day when I had a pager and a flip phone, we really didn't have much. So our social media was AOL chats, I think. I turned 40 this year, so that was like our social media. We had a profile. We had our bio, or it was our ASL or whatever, age, sex, location.
Back in the day. I was around for AIM.
All right. Yeah, there you go. I think we're only about 7 years apart. We're not too far apart. But delivering such a positive message on social media, I feel like we need more people that do that, because I love it. I love to see more positivity over the negative stuff that's out there. But how do you believe in social media? Do you think it's a thing for the future for kids? When do you think is the right age a kid should have social media? I mean, too.
I think it is a thing of the future. I think it's a really cool place to connect. And I think it's a place, if you have like some type of gift, right? Whatever it may be, maybe a musical gift, whether it's a speaking gift, whether it's being an artist, whatever it is. Whatever. I mean, you could be anything you want, right? Whatever you could do and that you maybe never could show the world from your bedroom or from your kitchen, or, you know, maybe you're scared to do it. It's such a cool place, because you could just post one picture of your art or maybe you're an impersonator or whatever you're naturally good at and you put yourself out there, I think you can really find like your gift and kind of figure out who you are. But you got to remember there is also another world outside of that world, mm-hmm. right? So it's a catch 22. But I think if kids are doing something positive with it, right, and they're not just flipping through it and looking at all the negative things, just watching bad YouTube videos and doing those things, I think if they're looking at it as more of like, this could be a place where I can kind of find myself and mm-hmm. and build myself up, I think it's a really positive place that like that nowhere in the world we've ever seen that can exist, where you could post a video on TikTok, go to bed, wake up, and have 16 million views, and 60 million people just saw you. You know, that's insane.
I love that.
So it's a really cool place to be. I think you know, it depends what they're doing on it, but I think it's a place where they can really kind of shine if they take that chance and go for it.
I thank you too, because there are so many videos out there that are portraying negativity, and have the few that we do have where the positive becomes just so true through the video. I like that, because those are the ones I want him to stop on and be like, okay, and learn from those. And that's why I'm like, all right, we're gonna add this, we're gonna show him, we're gonna see mm-hmm. what you do. So you might see him start liking and commenting one of these days.
yeah, for sure.
You're really close to 1 million followers on TikTok, 750,000 plus last I looked. It's awesome to see something like that grow. And like I said, it's so positive too. That's coming out of it. Yeah, man.
Do you have
anything else before we move on to our next thing?
No,
you want to talk to them about it?
Yeah. Good.
All right.
This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Fast on Memphis.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
So we're going to move on to our sponsored by Poddex section. We pulled two cards earlier tonight. It's a little fun little card. I don't want to call it a game because it kind of really helps with podcasts and go through. But one of the cards we pulled were, if you were guaranteed the correct answer to one question, what would you ask? It could be anything, any question in the world.
I'd probably ask, if I can guarantee one question, I know it's a crazy thing to want to know, but I'm the type of person that wants to know. I want to know, how much time do I have? You know,
okay.
How much time do I have, and what do I need to do? You know, I want to know. And because I'm the type of person that tries to cram everything in every second of my life right now, because I feel like I'm making up for lost time my whole life. I feel like I sold myself short first 18 years of my life, and I'm like, I got to make up for lost time. And I wake up and I got to make up for lost time. So I like to know, like, all right, Jordan, you got time here, right? But I just so I could take a breath sometimes, I like to know that answer, just so I can take a little breather. But but then maybe I think, you know, maybe it's good that I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like that when we plan road trips. Our itinerary is like to the last second, isn't it?
Yeah, it drives me crazy.
I want to take every minute, man. We have like, we went to an East Coast. I know you're from the East Coast. So we went on an East Coast. I graduated from Southern New Hampshire University. And my wife's like, hey, if you get honors, I'll take you to your graduation. So I got honors. We ended up doing a road trip out there. And we had like one night to spare. And we're like, well, we got one night, where we go. I'm like, we're going to Nantucket. So it's out of the blue. We go to Nantucket for a night.
Nantucket's cool.
Yeah, we loved it. So this is how I am. I'm like, we got to be spur of the moment. Just roll with the punches. Take every minute we can and enjoy it. So I love that answer about that, man.
That's right.
So, and our second card, is there anything about the way you're raised that you hope to do differently with your kids?
Ooh.
So I've shared this before. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I shared it before. Like, there's times my dad hated going to downtown Chicago when I was growing up. Just refused, would ever go. We just spent Mother's Day yesterday at Navy Pier in downtown Chicago. We had a blast. It was beautiful out. I just had a good time. And I feel like as a kid, that was something I would love to go on to downtown more, but he was just always kind of worried. So for me, I don't let little things like that bother us. I'm like, we're going to go, we're going to enjoy it, we're going to have fun. So that's something I try to do a little differently.
Yeah, so I think for me, I remember, because I'm a dad now too, and I have a 2-year-old, and I think my parents are great parents. My mom and dad, they were great. They were always there. But my dad always worked a lot, right? And I work a lot too. I do a lot. But one thing, like, I always try to do is I'll try to be, like, present with my son And I make sure like I'll go out with him. Like I was out today in the middle of the day with him, like playing out with his toys. And like, I try to make sure like I do that show up. Like I don't want to come home. Like my dad used to come home at like 9:30 at night and I would be laying in bed and he would give me a kiss goodnight to you now. But then I would wake up and he'd be gone in the morning. So like, I'm trying to make sure like I'm with Reese a lot. So that's the only thing. I just want to be there with him. I want to show him things. I want to like teach him about like life and things like, you know, and I know you could teach your kids, you know, about life with by your actions, but I want to like, I want to talk to him about life and I want to be like, I want to have a really good connection with him. So I really want to, and I have a good connection with my dad, but it's different.
Yeah.
But I really want to like be like, you know, I want to walk with him through things, you know, I want him to see like what I'm building and what I'm doing. And then I want him to go out there and build something that he wants to go build, you know, and I want to make sure I'm closer with him with that type of aspect. And, you know, I'm more of like a entrepreneur, like, hey, I believe in you. Go be whoever you want to be. Like, you can do this.
I love that, man. I totally love that answer because I feel the same way. He's going to be 8 in like a week. Mm-hmm. We have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. So it's awesome to see how it is, dude. It's the best times right now and to see how everything is. And that's why it's like, hey, you know what? We're going to go out and we're going to have fun. We're going to do things and we're not going to let, oh, it's Chicago. It might be the first or second deadliest city in the world. We're not going to let that bother. We're going to go and have a good time, you know? So we're going to let what happens, happens. 100%. Everybody has a plan, I feel like. So, all right, guys. Well, I'm Just a Kid with an IEP. Pre-order the new book. Comes out on June 21st. You get the on Amazon. You get the Kindle version now. We're going to close out tonight with our hot seats. We're going to ask you 10 quick questions, about 60 seconds on the clock. First thing that pops to your mind, just spit out the answer. Go ahead and put put that on the clock. The first CD you ever purchased?
Kid Rock.
Double the cause. I love that. If you had an endless supply of something, what would it be?
Paper towels.
All right. Quick side story. I used to work for a music venue, and the lady that owned the venue hated half rolls of toilet paper. Anything that was half or less, she would say, get rid of. So there's like 4 of us that worked there. We're like, you know what? Screw this. We're not going to throw this toilet paper away. We're throwing it in bags. And every week, we would take home a garbage bag of toilet paper and be like Santa Claus walking in the house, man. So I love that answer. All right. Who has the best pizza you ever had? Anywhere you've ever been, who has the best pizza?
I'd say Penn Station, New York City. There's this little pizza shop when you go in there. I don't even know the name of it, but it's in Penn Station, New York City.
The strangest thing you've ever seen in the middle of the road.
Just recently I saw a bear.
Oh, okay.
it was very strange for me. Yeah. That was strange for me because there's no bears by me, but we were up in Pennsylvania and I saw a bear.
that would definitely be strange, man. I'd be like, okay, yeah. Are you a morning person or a night owl?
I'm a morning person.
Hell yeah, man. Me too. What's one thing people buy that you feel is a waste of money?
Little decorations on holidays that my wife puts all over my house and then they break. Let me buy them all again.
Christmas lights. Yep. No. right. You're going on a road trip. Are you taking the back roads or are you going to take a familiar route?
I always like to take like back roads and cool roads that I don't know where I'm going.
Go through the small towns. So, yeah. I go on the GPS and I say avoid tolls, avoid highways. Let's go.
Right. And then I type in like cool place. I type in like some place to eat right in the middle of a downtown somewhere. I'm going.
Check out.
My wife, we're going.
Side story on that. Check out an app called Roadside America. Best app I've ever gotten. You can literally post or put where you're going to go, and it's going to tell you every little quirky place on the side of the road that you can find. Like,
oh, that's great.
The largest ball of twine or whatever. Like, it just weird things. We found Uranus, Missouri, we found because of that. It was pretty interesting.
And we found the Jolly Green Giant statue in like some random town
in Minnesota.
I mean, whatever. It's fun little things to do with the kids.
Yeah, but it's called Roadside America. Yeah, and it's really cool.
I was actually just there.
Okay.
Uranus, Missouri. I was just in Archie, Missouri.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's near Archie, but.
Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy, man. There were crazy things out there. So we keep getting sidetracked. But where's your dream vacation location? If you're going to go anywhere, your dream vacation, where are you going?
My dream vacation would probably be I love the beach and I love Jamaica. I love Aruba. Those two spots, Jamaica or Aruba.
Our honeymoon was Jamaica. I want to go back so bad, man. That was awesome.
I love it.
Your favorite microwavable food?
I'd say I haven't eaten in a while, but my favorite one at the time is probably a Hot Pocket.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I love that. And then the last one we have, you reach thousands, almost millions of people. You're changing lives everywhere. What's something that's still on your bucket list? What's something that you still want to accomplish before you call it a day, man?
I want to make sure that I can build this. I'm just giving IEP, and I want to make sure that I am booked to speak at 5 to 6 to 7 to 10 schools a month, and I'm just going from school to school, from youth group to youth group, from church to church, wherever it is, wherever these kids are at, where everyone's feeling down, wherever anyone who's struggling. I want to make sure that's what I'm doing day to day, hopping in the car, you know, driving across the country, making my stops or flying, whatever I'm doing. That's what I'm going to do. And then I'm not going to stop till I get there and do that.
I love that, man. I totally love that. Dude, thank you for bearing with us through all the technical difficulties at the beginning and everything else. This show has been phenomenal. I really hope people are watching or listening now on the streaming services connected with this and will go and look up Jordan Toma. I'm Just a Kid with an IEP. He's on all social medias. Check him out. Get the book. Any final words before we let you go for tonight, buddy?
No, I appreciate you guys, and I just want to say, you know, if you work hard enough and you believe in yourself and you hold on to hope, you know, you're going to get chances in your life, and when those chances come and the opportunities present themselves, you know, you'll know exactly what to do with it every single time. So, you know, don't give up. Keep working hard. The opportunities will come, and you'll be ready.
I love that, man. Well, thank you again for spending some time with us tonight, man. You have an amazing day, and the minute that book comes out, we're going to start sharing everything for it. We're going to blow it up for you. We're going to help you get back on those charts, too.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. So. I appreciate it. Thanks so much. Thanks for having
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, buddy. Awesome. We'll talk soon. All right. Have a good night.
All right, guys.
Bye.
You too.
Bye.
Man, that was awesome. I love that. He was good.
Really good.
We could went on forever. I had like 5 more videos. Like I want to ask him this.
I would have liked to have had Jackson with us tonight.
I want people to go to his page too to see these videos because there's so many, so inspirational. And I think, Jackson, I think is going to see this stuff. I think he'll see the videos when he's on.
I just love his mission. The fact that like he solely is just trying to reach kids that are struggling. I think that is amazing. I think that says a lot about who he is and the kind of person he is. And I as a mom, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know.
I love it because, he says, I wish I had somebody. That's why I told Jackson, I said, if I had somebody when I was younger, this would be the guy I want. Because he's saying things that nobody else was saying. We were going through, or I was going through and struggling with. I mean, I know my mom was always one hounding me. I mean, you see her sometimes when she does homework with Jackson and stuff. But, like... I'm glad, like I said, I'm glad I had that because some kids didn't have that. They didn't have that, that mom would fight for them and everything else. I remember one time, I don't know, I was second grade, mom's like, I don't have something about my eyelashes. For some reason, everybody kills for my eyelashes. I don't know why. No.
Oh my God.
My second grade teacher's like, well, something about he went to cut off his eyelashes or something. Da, da, da. And I remember one day I came out of school and she had paper like taped to my eyelashes because it was make my mom think she cut my eyelashes off. I don't know why. It was weird, but and my mom was all excited and that's all that mattered because she was excited that day because that means I did something good in class. She was not getting a bad report on her kid once again. So, because we'd always get bad reports when I get home. So, but yeah, I see a lot of it in Jackson. That's why we look as parents, we look to see, we want to help our kids and, I think the best way to help the kids are to see other people that are struggling, hear these words, these messages that these people are going from. And I think that your mom isn't just being overprotective about you. I mean, sometimes the parents do know what's going on and we want to try to help out the kids. But I also feel as a kid, your parents aren't really always going to be the ones you're going to want to help from. You're going to want to branch out and hear from other people as well.
Well, I know my kids don't think I'm cool.
Yeah.
Well, I think I have a cool mom. But Jackson has made it perfectly clear that I am not cool.
You can be cool sometimes.
But to your point, I agree. And I guess my thing is, too, is like, you know, as long as the kids have, you know, that they're confident enough to talk to someone about it, you know, that they have that outlet, I think is important, you know?
Yep. I agree. I mean, because a lot of people, I talked about today on my personal Facebook page, a lot of mental health is a serious thing, man. A lot of people struggle daily with stuff. And
especially.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It is, especially in kids now. And I think that I think a lot of it is that kids don't feel heard, or they don't feel supported, or they don't feel like they're alone, you know, and the fact that he's giving that message that you're not alone, that the struggle is there and people have, but look how, you know, you can be successful and you can overcome challenges, and it's just a brief time in your life, you know?
I totally agree. So I really hope you guys learned something tonight. If you guys are watching, or maybe take away something, go check out Jordan Toma. I'm Just a Kid with IEP on all socials. Instagram, TikTok are his main ones, but Facebook, he's all out there. He's very responsive to DMs and emails. So if you guys do want to reach out or feel like he's a game changer, tell him. Let him know. If you're in somebody that is in a school district and has the power of booking guest speakers, definitely look into this guy, because he's one that fantastic. I think should be in speaker. Every school across the nation, mm-hmm. talking about these issues, because these are issues that are not dealt with kids. We don't look at this stuff when we're kids. One thing I was scared about talking about is our son now goes to the nurse to take medicine every day. I remember the kids that would line up outside the nurse's station. You'd be like, oh, those are the weird kids. Those are the kids that got to take meds. Those are the kids that got to do whatever. And I didn't want that form at first. I was nervous starting that. So stuff like this, like, we listen to Jordan and how he thinks talks it's about cool, this. Though. Yeah.
It gets him out of class.
Yeah, I know. A little rebel. But yeah, thank you guys for tuning in tonight and joining us on episode 128 with Jordan Toma. Jordan is changing the lives of young kids everywhere, and I wouldn't give anything to have him as a mentor or voice when I was 12 or 13, struggling with ADD or just struggling with life at the time. We want to wish Jordan nothing but the best. I can't wait to see what he accomplishes the rest of 2022. Don't forget to catch up on everything you missed from tonight and past episodes over at gainingfastonmemphis.com. Next week, we're going to have another one. One of my favorite up-and-coming singer-songwriters is going to be on the show. So we cannot wait for next Monday night. So join us then. See you guys.
Bye.
The Gain and Fast on Memphis podcast with Aaron Shriver is brought to you by Arlo Revolution. As we close the book on another chapter, remember, music gives a soul to the universe, wings to the mind, flight to the imagination, and life to everything. Next week, Aaron connects more melodies and memories with other fans and the artists they love. Thanks for being a part of this musical journey, and we'll see you next time on the Gain and Fast on Memphis podcast with Aaron Shriver.